WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Gregory Hines, who many consider to have been the greatest tap dancer of his generation, died this weekend of cancer at the age of 57. That's Gregory Hines as Jelly Roll Morton in Jelly's Last Jam, which earned him a Tony Award in 1992. Hines was admired for his elegance, virtuosity, and charm as a performer on stage and screen. He carried on the tradition of earlier tap dancers, such as Jimmy Slide and Sammy Davis Jr. On Broadway, he sang and danced in the shows Yubi, Coming Uptown, and Sophisticated Ladies. His films included White Nights, Tap, Cotton Club, and the Mel Brooks film History of the World Part 1. And he had a recent recurring role in the sitcom Will and Grace. Gregory Hines made his professional debut as a child, performing with his older brother, Maurice Jr. Their act was the Hines Kids. Terry Gross interviewed Gregory Hines in 1989.
You started dancing when you were five. What got you started?
My parents gave my brother and I, my brother Maurice and I, tap lessons. I think, like parents give their children piano or saxophone, so just something to round them out. And in those days, this is like the late 40s, I actually began at 2 1/2. You know, I can't imagine what I was doing at 2 1/2, probably just hopping up and down. But this is the family legend. I don't really remember not dancing. We took group classes at the local tap school. Somebody came by offering free lessons, and we got involved. And we liked it, and we seemed to show a little ability. So at that point, my parents found Henry Letang, who then really taught us how to dance.
Whose idea was it for you to perform professionally at such a young age? I think, was five the age when you started actually performing?
Yes. I think that it was just a group decision, Henry and my parents, and I suppose some of the members of the family. In those days, tap dancing was still very highly respected and an area that a lot of people wanted to be in. And the Nicholas brothers were big stars at that time, and it was Henry's contention that we would be the second coming of the Nicholas brothers. And in fact, my brother and I patterned ourselves after them. I latched onto Harold, and my brother used his hands and danced like Fayard. And so we just started working. I mean, it was there was work, and you know, we were cute, and we could dance, and we enjoyed it.
Did you do acrobatics like the Nicholas brothers?
A little bit. But in no way did we compare to the Nicholas brothers in terms of the kind of acrobatic things that they were doing. We did some flips and some knee drops, we call them in those days. That's where one leg is straight and the other leg is slightly bent. Nicholas brothers used to do complete splits, but we weren't. Our style wasn't into acrobatics. We were more tap, mostly tap and a lot of syncopated combinations.
When you were performing as a child, who kept the money?
What money?
You didn't make money when you were performing?
Well, we made money, but not much. I mean, in those days, you know, there really wasn't much money, and it was beginning to diminish as we were performing because tap dancing was beginning to go out. So there really wasn't a lot of money. I think some of those early jobs, maybe we made $25 for, you know, what was known as a club date. I remember New Year's Eve was a big night, and that performers would get paid double. So maybe New Year's Eve we'd get $50 for a club date, but there really wasn't a lot of money.
Was tap something that set you apart when you were a kid in school?
Not really, because we were professionals and from time to time had to go on the road to work, we went to professional children's schools. So I went to school with people like Patty Duke and Sal Mineo.
No kidding, really?
Sandra Dee. Yeah, and so, you know, we were just another professional. You know, we were just in school with, you know, kids that could relate.
Now, you did the Ed Sullivan Show when you were pretty young, right?
Yes.
How did he introduce you? What did he say?
You know, I don't remember. The only thing I remember about that is that in those days, we used to wear a lot of grease on our hair. Because the only way to get respect in those days was to have slicked down hair. And I remember after one of the shows, as we, you know, Ed, we did our number and we came over and Ed thanked us and we took a bow and he actually put his hand on my head. And I remember just for a moment, the shocked look on his face when he realized that he had at least an ounce of grease on his hand. And I thought, well, this is it. We'll never be on this show again.
And were you?
Actually, we did it one more time, but he didn't put his head on my head that second time.
You had been dancing with your brother for many years. When you were 18, your father joined the act, and the act was named Heinz, Heinz, and Dad. At the age of 18, would you have preferred to be on your own with just your brother? Were you glad that your father joined?
I was. And at that point, it was... my father had been a musician for years, and he would be traveling in one direction, and my brother and I and my mother would be traveling in another direction professionally. And my father wanted the family to be together. And also, he felt that he wanted to show a family working together in a cohesive way. This was during the time when the black family and the was coming under a lot of scrutiny. You know, this was way before the Huxtables, where people, you know, had images where they could feel good about the black family and good about themselves. And so Heinz, Heinz, and Dad was really my father's dream in a way. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. Those were good years.
Gregory Hines speaking with Terry Gross in 1989. He died on Saturday at the age of 57.